Let's each prepare ourselves to study God's Word in prayer. While I give you a moment of silence to pray, let me suggest you tell God you want to learn from His Word and tell Him that you actually want to live trusting His wisdom. God, you are the creator of everything, and you are the one who gives life, new life, eternal life, and you give us wisdom to live this life, to have real life now on earth, not just in heaven. And so, God, I pray that we would trust your wisdom as you give it to us in your word, because, like the passage we're going to study today, you give us amazing promises and amazing wisdom if we would just come to you, if we would just trust you. So I pray that we wouldn't just sit and listen to this today, but God, we would actually do what you suggest to us in your word for us to do, to have peace and to protect our minds. We love you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The coronavirus is causing many issues for people, and we're going to address several of those in the coming weeks. Today we're going to try to help specifically with two things. One is God's help for anxiety, which is connected to the second topic, and that is how to protect your mind while you're probably spending more time at home and probably taking in more media and news. How do we protect our minds? Many of you are not even aware of the threat that media poses to you. Some of you are aware of the potential threat, but you think you're immune. Some of you are very aware of the threat, but you don't necessarily take steps to protect yourselves. I think this is similar with the help that we have available for anxiety. Many of you are aware there's help available to you, but you don't use it, or you don't trust that it's going to work. Let's trust God and His Word and actually make use of the help that He provides for us. Please turn to Philippians chapter 4 in your Bibles. Philippians in chapter 4. And you can read along on your sermon note app if you have that. Please look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 while I read. You must be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you must make known your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 is a command to Christ followers. And we tend to react defensively to commands. I don't want a command. But this command, as really are all of God's commands, is for our good. So rather than being defensive, draw into and see the positive changes that this could bring for you. This is not something burdensome to obey. Again, like all of God's commands, we shouldn't view them as burdensome to God, something burdensome that God is giving us to obey. This is good news that we have such access to great things from God. People are running around out in the world without God, and they're getting beat down by their worries. And even us who know God, a lot of times we let ourselves get beat down by our worries. We Christ followers have the possibility to not get beaten down by our concerns. You must be anxious about nothing. To be anxious is to give too much thought to something. This is actually going to go with the second part of the passage of what we put into our minds. Because to give too much thought to something is, you have a thought pop up in your mind and you mull it around in your mind. You swish it around in your mind again and again. And so when we do that with something that we're concerned about, we just sit and focus on it and let it mill around in our minds again and again. We give too much weight to our concerns. Being anxious and worrying are basically the same thing. In our vocabulary, worrying is like the activity that we do, and anxiety is the result. But as I speak today, think about worrying and being anxious as basically equivalent. So, don't worry, don't be anxious, is what we're going to work on. Now, I don't think this is saying don't have any thoughts of concern. We're going to have thoughts of concern about things that are important to us, about our jobs, about our spouses, about our kids, about our health, hopefully for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to have thoughts of concern. But we are not to worry. That is letting those concerns dominate our thoughts. We are not to let those concerns have so much weight that we get anxious. It's pressing on us. So how do we cut these thoughts of concern off before they become worry? Because these are things that we're thinking about. They are concerns. So before it passes over into worry or anxiety, how do we cut it off? Simply put, we must pray. So, something you care about comes into your mind, you sense it gaining weight, pray. Before talking about the specifics of this prayer, there's one more important thing about this word translated as anxious. It often implies that our focus is on things of the world that we're worrying about. We ran into this same word just a few weeks ago in 1 Corinthians, where the passage was telling us to not focus so much on like buying and our spouses and those kind of things, because we're heavenly people, and what we need to do first is we need to think, how do I please God? And then we come back to all the things of life, and we make decisions about the things of life in light of, I want to please God first. So it's not that we don't care about these things that are going on in the world, but they're not supposed to be the first focus. It's supposed to be God. And so, like I said, this word anxious implies that we're focusing too much on the things of the world and we've lost focus on God. And so, what better way to bring ourselves back to God than to just talk to Him? For those of us who already trust Christ, prayer can just bring us right back into focus on God. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, it makes sense that you're not focused on God. It makes sense that you're focused on the things of the world, that you're even hyper-focused on the things going on in the world. For you, the first prayer that you should pray is expressing to Jesus Christ that you want to trust Him. Jesus can hear your prayers because He's the Son of God. Just tell Him that you trust Him. Now, about these prayers over things that we might worry about, several details are given. The common word for prayer is used, which emphasizes just that we talk to God. God, who is our perfect parent, wants us, His kids, to talk to Him. He already knows our thoughts. I just said a moment ago, if you want to trust Jesus, just tell Him. He knows your thoughts. So why pray if He knows our thoughts? Probably largely for us, but I think it does, it expresses our trust. Like a lot of times I'll know what's going on with my kids, but I don't just come to them and say to them, hey, I know that you're thinking about this, or I know that you did that. I'll come to them and I'll ask them a question, because I want to see if they'll share with me. I want to hear from them their thoughts and their perspective on it as a dad. I want that from my kids. And our Heavenly Father wants us to talk to Him. So rather than taking our concerns just over and over again in our minds, worrying, we're to talk about them with God. Paired with prayer, Paul gives this word supplication, which is a type of prayer. It's a focus of prayer. Supplication is an urgent request to God to meet a need. So rather than worrying about our needs even, we are to ask God to meet our needs. That may be worry about our jobs, maybe worry about money, it may be worried about our families, it may be worried about sickness, maybe worried about having enough toilet paper. Whatever it is, we are to take that need to God and express it to Him. What can worrying accomplish? Nothing. Except negative. It can accomplish anxiety. On the other hand, what can God accomplish? He can accomplish anything. If He wills to change your situation, can He? Yes. If He wills that you have something, that you get something, can He give it? Yes. Now, there's no promise that He will change your situation. There is good news here still, even if He doesn't change your situation. As a result of your prayers, God will produce something that can protect you from this anxiety, that can protect our hearts and our minds. Then Paul adds, with thanksgiving, you must make known your requests to God. To make a request to God is to ask Him to give us something, to meet a need. But we shouldn't just be asking God to do stuff for us, just be asking God to meet our needs. But rather, we should be thanking Him. We should go to Him with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is recognizing what He has already given us. It's recognizing what He has already done, not just for us, but generally, what has He done? And if we recognize all the things that God has done, we go, wow, He can really do a ton. He can do anything. And if we do recognize that God has already done a ton, and He's already given us a lot, it flavors the way that we ask Him to give and to do for us in the present. Instead of just going to God for what He gives and what He does, thanksgiving expresses that we recognize how active He's already been in our lives, how active He's already been in the world, that He's shown Himself to be in control. Prayer should be a way of expressing trust in God. God, I'm asking You to act because I know that You can, because I know that You have. Thank You. I know I can't affect things the way that I want. I know that You can affect things the way that You want. And so I trust You to do what You will. You must be anxious about nothing, but in everything, you must make known your requests to God. Nothing and everything there are in opposition to one another. That means the way not to be anxious in anything is to pray about everything. When a concern comes up in our minds, we can do one of two things with it. We can overthink it, give it too much weight. That's called worry, and it leads to anxiety. Or we can turn our minds to God, take our concerns to Him, and we will see the beneficial results in verse 7. So every time a concern enters our minds, so let's say it's money. Money enters your mind. Rather than worrying about it, mulling it over again and again, take it to God in prayer and give it to Him. And for most of us, the likelihood is that thought's going to come back up again and again. Instead of worry about it, even you might say, oh, I prayed before. Pray again. Take it to God again because it's a concern that you have, and give it to Him again. And it comes up again, and you take it to Him again. Every single time, every concern. My kids pop up in my mind. And I'm thinking about them. And I start to get concerned about them. What do I do with it? Take it to God and give it to Him. Every concern, every time. So if you worry, if you are anxious, don't simply say, I do pray, and write this verse off as fanciful. Do you pray about everything? Remember, the point to this is cutting it off, or hopefully cutting it off. You might already have the anxiety, the worry. You can take that to God. But hopefully what we start to learn to do is cut this off before it gets to anxiety. So, like, you don't have to do it the way that I do it, but this is what I do every day to pray. I'm sitting right here, and I think back through my previous 24 hours, and I pray about every single thought, event, person I interacted with. I pray through all those the best that I can remember. If I can't remember, it's probably not worrying me. And I pray through my next 24 hours. Every thought, every event, everything I might face, every person I know I'm going to interact with, even people I don't know that I'm going to interact with. And I pray through every single one of those things. That's one way. You don't have to do it that way, but that's one way that you could pray about everything. Even things in the future, giving them to God before you even start to get worried about them. Do you pray about everything? Do you pray every time you have a thought of concern about something? That is the instruction and the basis for having something different than anxiety. Pray about every aspect of life. Every time a concern about an aspect of life comes into your mind, pray. I was talking with a friend once who had a legitimate reason for a concern about their job. Maybe the demands of the job becoming undesirable and not wanting to be there. Maybe even losing his job, even if he wanted to stay. What he had in control was he could work hard, he could do a good job, even for an unreasonable boss. We talked about that. But there were many factors that were not under his control, or even his influence, really. And so this verse is what we talked about. And he did what this verse says. Every time the concern about his job came into his mind, he took it to God. And he said that was the only thing that kept him from getting out of control worry. We take our concerns to God, and the passage says he'll give us back his peace. It says peace which surpasses all understanding. If that's the right translation, then this peace we get is something that can't be explained. And I've had people testify to that. I talked to a lady once that had cancer, and we talked about this passage, and she did these things, and she came back and testified, I don't know how I went from freaking out anxiety over my cancer to this peace that I have. I don't know how that happened. And so maybe that's what this is talking about, a peace that's beyond explanation. Or this could be translated, peace of God, which has power over every attitude. That would mean God gives us back something that fights anxiety. That fits the next word. The word guard pictures God's peace as a platoon of soldiers who will protect you if you run to Him when that worry battle is raging. The peace of God, which has power over every attitude, over every thought. God's peace has power over that. And so if we will run to God in prayer, He will surround us with that platoon of peace. And that platoon of peace will protect our thoughts and our feelings from getting out of control, so we don't get overtaken by the enemy anxiety. God is in control, and nothing is more powerful than Him. If we run to Him through prayer, we can gain a sense that we don't have to worry because He is in control. This protection is available to those who are in Christ Jesus. We in Jesus Christ are God's children. He is our dad, and He is a big, strong dad. He's the strongest. You know when kids go, like, my dad can beat up your dad. Well, we got the strongest dad. Our heavenly dad is more powerful than anything that can threaten our peace of mind or anything that can threaten our lives. Will we run to Him? Concerns bully us, but our heavenly dad is stronger than that bully. So when concerns threaten to beat us up, we run to our dad in prayer so He can protect us. Some of us seem to have a stronger tendency to worry than others do. But the protection that God provides is more powerful than even the strongest tendency to worry. But don't forget, we have to go to Him. We have to go to Him with every concern. Run to Him every time that concern rises up. It's our dependence as a child. It's our dependence saying, I need You to protect me. So no matter what your concern, money, job, kids, spouse, health, or anything else, every time a concern thought enters your mind, take it to God and trust Him to do what He sees fit. Let's not confuse that trust is, I trust God to do what I want. No, that's trusting you and hoping that there's some power that'll support what you think and what you want. No, let's trust God. That's what we're doing in prayer. Your will be done. I'm bringing my concern to You. I'm bringing my need to You. Your will be done regarding that thing. And with His capable hands wrapped around it, because we've taken it to Him, let your mind have peace. Next, we're given preventative measures that can reduce our battles in our minds and in our living. Please look at verse 8 in Philippians 4 while I read. Additionally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is dignified, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, everything that is excellent and everything that is worthy of praise, these things you must keep on your mind. The charge of verse 8 comes at the end. These things you must keep on your mind. This is talking about those things that we mull around in our minds. These are the things. So instead of, this is like the replacement. So we had these things that we were concerned about on our minds, and what did we do with them? We took them to God, right? So we got nothing on our minds now. They're empty. We got to put something in there. And so these are the things that we're supposed to put in our minds and mull around in our minds instead of our concerns. Paul gives this list of things to keep on our minds. And I'm going to talk about the things on the list, but first of all, let's just recognize the list as a whole. Like, we could just say, he wants us to put good things in our minds and mull good things around in our minds. We're going to dig into some details a little bit, but it just supports that that main point. You don't have to learn every single word here and go, oh, that specific thing is what I have to go after. But just generally, it's supposed to impact us. Like, don't put the junk in. Put the good in. And mull around the good. And so Paul gives this list of things to keep on our minds. And by this list, he implies things that are not like this, that we should try to not put on our minds. That will help prevent some of the battles that we have in life that start in our minds. With more time at home, we're probably consuming more media. Most of us are listening to more news. And both of those things can pollute our minds if we aren't careful about our choices. And quite frankly, those things can influence us to worry. Many of the battles that we face are because we are following wrong things. We are putting wrong things in front of ourselves, listening to wrong things, and they're influencing our minds. We are putting these polluted, bad things into our mind through media, and then they stay in there. We mull them around. If you have any question about that, has anybody ever had a bad dream that was about a TV show that you watched or some conversation that you just had? We mull these things around in our mind. They stay in there, song lyrics and stuff, and we like marinate our brains in these things. These bad things that we already have on our minds, we ponder them again and again. So instead, this passage is encouraging us to put right things, pure things, into our minds. Good things. Truth things. And mull those around in our mind. Let those be the thing that our thoughts are marinating in. What Paul lists in verse 8 are all good things. For the sake of being practical, I want to give examples of the bad counterparts so we realize the things that we need to keep out and not ponder. As you engage in the world, only allow what is true into and to remain on your minds. So defensively, we should try to keep out things that are untrue, false. And if those false things are already in there, try not to ponder them. We let a lot of untrue stuff in. I could sit here and give example after example after example, but let me just give you one. Don't listen to the falsehood. If God is good, He wouldn't let bad things happen. Don't let that one mull around in your mind. You need to know what is true. God is good. God is in control. This world has been corrupted, and that's where the problems are. God has actually provided the ultimate fix in Jesus Christ. That's why He wants us to get into Jesus, is because we get forgiven of our sins. We get unpolluted of our sins. He makes that right when we get in Jesus. And at the end of time, He's given people time to get in Jesus. But at the end of time, He's going to cleanse everything. All of creation is going to be cleansed and start over with His cleansed people enjoying that new creation. So He's provided the solution. So He is good. He is in control. And God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so God turns even bad stuff for the ultimate good. I heard a story this last week, some of you might have heard it, that in Italy, the waterways there are beautiful for the first time in anybody's memory because of the coronavirus. Because they're not out polluting. They're not out and about, and they're not out polluting. And they were amazed how fast the waterways regenerated themselves. It's amazing how God can take bad things and He can use them for good. Where do we find what is true? God's Word, the Bible. Coming to learn here on Sundays is great, and I hope you will ponder what you've heard today. But also, I would suggest, if you're going to keep these thoughts on your mind every day, you need to be reading God's Word on your own every day. Inserting that the truth of the Bible into your daily thought life. You can get biblical content also from media streaming. We have right now media, both for you and for your kids. We have this online service that the church subscribes to, and so it's totally free to all of you. All you got to do is let us sign you up, and there's thousands of Bible studies and sermons and teachings on positive content, and that's for the more mature of us. There's also dozens of animated, like cartoon type things that are Bible based and clean and pure and lovely that we could give to our kids instead of all the other stuff that they tend to watch and listen to. The next word is dignified. Your translation may say honorable or noble. As you engage in this world, only allow what is dignified on your mind. So defensively, we should try to keep things out that are depraved. That would be the opposite of this, depraved. We let a lot of depraved stuff into our minds. I have a few examples. Much of what we let in is because we're seeking entertainment. And I bring these things up not for the purpose of judging us, for judging you, but for help to us. If these things are causing your mind problems and you don't realize it, maybe this will make you aware. Maybe it'll help you prevent some of the problems. Media, like TV and movies and music lyrics and books and commercials and magazines and social media, all influence the way that we think. There is a ton of depravity out there in that stuff. I've told you before that every now and then I try to listen to secular radio just to know what's going on out there. And I can't even most of the time listen for 2 minutes because like every song is about sex and drugs and partying and on and on and on. And I'm just going, I'm not going to put that stuff on my mind. I'm not saying don't watch, read, listen, because of some Christian rule. Let's get that clear. I'm suggesting that we be more discerning of what we let in because all this stuff is not good for us. And maybe harming our thought life in ways that we don't even realize. We have to help guard our kids' minds also. What are they watching, reading, listening to? Only let in for them and for us, what is dignified, not depraved. The next word is right. Your translation may say just. As you engage in the world, only allow what is right to remain on your mind. And so defensively, we should try to keep things out that are not right. When you think about actions you will take, only entertain plans for doing what is right. What is right in God's sight? What is right toward others? I remember one time Angie and I were having a disagreement, and I got so furious that I went into our closet just to get away from her. I didn't want to leave the house because I didn't want her to freak her out, like think I was leaving or something. So I went in, and I was standing in the closet, and I was so mad that I was thinking terrible things, how I could win the discussion. So I'm pondering these different lines of argument that I could go out and use against her. How I might wound her with my words. I was thinking of words that'll shut her up if I say that. And then I was like, thanks to God convicting me, I was like, those things aren't right. That's not right. I was young in the Lord, but I knew those things weren't right, and so I prayed. And I asked God's help. And I went out to Angie and we worked things out. And we both acted right, just toward each other. The next word is pure. As you engage in the world, only allow what is pure to remain on your mind. And so defensively, we should try to keep out what is impure, sinful. I'm not going to give examples for this one. Knowing the Bible helps us to know what is pure and impure. But oftentimes, even just in our conscience, we know what is impure, don't we? We just a lot of times allow ourselves to let those things in and to ponder them when we know it's not pure. We know it's not good for us. So let's just not do that. The next word is lovely. A literal translation of this word would be something like toward brotherly love. As you engage with people, only allow what is going to advance love to remain on your mind. And so defensively, we should try to keep from pondering mean thoughts about people, thoughts of revenge, thoughts that would keep us mad or bitter at people. Next is whatever is of good report. Your translation may say commendable or admirable or good repute. As you engage with people, only allow what is of good report to remain on your mind. So defensively, we should try to keep from pondering things like rumors and gossip. Even stuff that is true is often not helpful for us to know or for others to know and think about. Gossip is a cancer. Don't put gossip in other people's minds, and don't allow people to put gossip in your mind. Just refuse to participate. And what about our kids? Sometimes we'll come home just complaining, and oftentimes it's about people. We're poisoning our kids toward those people that we're talking about. It is not good report. We can prevent a lot of anxiety, a lot of negative thoughts, a lot of horrible results in our lives with preventing things that we put in our minds, preventing the bad stuff that we put in our minds, and putting good stuff in there instead. I hope we will become more discerning on what we let in and what we will ponder and will pour in God's Word. Ponder that for sure. Everything that is excellent and everything that is worthy of praise, keep these things on your mind. Do you care about pleasing God? Do you want to receive God's praise? Not just everything we do, but everything we think should be pleasing to God, should be something that God would be able to praise us for thinking. One, because He knows our thoughts. And two, because our thoughts are going to affect our actions. And so if we only have thoughts in there that are praiseworthy, then we're going to have good minds. And so if you're at home more during the coronavirus, be careful what you put in your mind, what you allow to be put in your family's minds through media, through conversations. Be careful of the news that you're reading and listening to. I did a lot of reading last week in preparation for sending out an email to you all. I was reading about the coronavirus, and it took me a lot of work to find something that wasn't just spreading, it wasn't just stories of people's panic. It took me a lot of searching to actually find like good, helpful information about the coronavirus. And when I did, guess what happened? It was calming. It was calming to learn truths, to learn useful, good information, where all I had been getting up until that point was watching stories of panic. And even me, who I'm a pretty calm person and I trust God, I was starting to get a little starting to feel a little seed of concern because of all that I was watching. And so if you find yourself getting worried, getting anxious, take it in prayer to our most capable God. We only got a couple minutes, but what questions do you have about this passage or this topic? Yeah. So are you talking mainly about our thinking about that? Like, so how do we not think, or how should we think about humanity and not be jaded toward humanity? So first of all, to put the truth in, we have to recognize that's what's wrong with this world. So if by jaded you mean negative, there is some negative that we have to recognize, that human beings and our choice is what brought sin into the world. And because sin came into the world, it's what corrupted everything. The nature, the universe, is corrupted because God's primary main creation that's made in His image sinned. He cursed it all. And so there is a very negative sense about humanity. And it explains a lot. When we see people behave in certain ways, you know, I see people around a lot of time goes, how could people do that? How could someone do that? And I'm sitting there going, that makes total sense. It makes total sense that people would do that sort of thing because of sin. And we've all got it in there. We are all more sinful than we think we are. But because God is still present, there's positives. And primarily, I would say positives amongst the people of God, because us who have trusted Jesus Christ, God has put His very Spirit in us. So He's made us new. He's re-genesised us. And so now we have the true opportunity again to choose good or bad. And so we choose a lot of good with God's help, with God's power. And so there will be good things that are happening in the world. And so we shouldn't get fatalistic, right? Because God is still in control. And ultimately, He is going to provide the fix where He cleanses everything and starts over. So how do you help people with their fears of, like, products missing from the shelves and stuff like that? Well, first of all, I would say this isn't everything, but a lot of the things that we're freaked out about are what we would call first world concerns. I mean, we have a massive amount of luxury in our lives, and when those things start to go away, we freak out like the world has ended. When in the history of the world, and not even just in the history of the world, just cross an ocean or a border in some cases, and there's people that live without those things every single day. I mean, I've been to several places where no home has running water. So I think a little bit of perspective is in need. So then what about the most basics? Well, I haven't seen the most basics totally go away yet. Maybe they will. And in those cases, I would say we need to take that to God. But also, especially for you all here, share your needs. Like, talk to one another. The Bible tells us that we're a family in Christ. And so if you need toilet paper, if you need food, if you need to talk, if you need whatever it is that you need, share with one another. Email the church and we'll make a list and send it out and people can meet their needs. We'll figure it out. We're still in communication, right? People, I hope that all of you have some sort of group, even if it's not meeting. Make your group members aware of your needs. I know personally, like, I've been looking for people's needs that I can meet this week. And so, like, if there are people expressing them, there are needs that I'd be trying to meet. If you decided this morning to trust Jesus, I hope you'll make that known to us. Get in touch with us. Tell us. If you want to talk more about trusting Jesus, please reach out. I'd love to talk to you about that. Let's pray together to apply what we learned today. God, we trust You. Wait, maybe we don't. We want to trust You. God, help us. Help us even in our trust. Because we want to trust You. We believe that You are God. We believe that You are bigger than anything that happens on the face of this planet. We believe that You're good. We believe that You're in control. And so we want to trust You with everything. Help us. Would you, sitting there for a moment, allow God's Spirit to speak to you? Have you been letting yourself get anxiety? Let God show that to you. And if you have, tell Him what you want to do about that now that you know what is true. And would you allow God to speak to you if there's polluted, wrong, bad things that you've been allowing into your mind, you've been pondering those things, would you allow God to show you whatever that is? And would you, for your own good, decide that you want to eliminate that from your life? God, we pray to you, we look to you, we trust you. The primary reason that we know that you are good is because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, left his place in heaven and came to earth to be a human, to die for us, so that we could be right with you, so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could enjoy the perfectly cleansed creation that you're going to give us someday. May we have joy as we look forward to that day, no matter what comes upon the face of this earth. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray, and all those who believe this said, Amen.